for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 299 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week is the return of John Santana, who's going to talk about his Jaded series, which has the fourth issue released recently with more to come. We get into the latest issue of Jaded, as well as other projects he has coming, including Wordsmith, a book that I had a chance to look over. We also touch on the future of Jaded, as well as other books that he's working on. And I'm sure you're going to enjoy what he has to say because he's a very thoughtful and thorough creator, as well as a great storyteller. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show. It's always great to talk with John Santana, the great creator of such good things as Jaded from Iron Age Comics. How are you doing today, John?
I'm doing well, Wayne. How are you?
Doing good. Let's talk a little bit about where Jaded is these days, because you sent me a copy of issue 4, which is the Etheria issue, which I really enjoyed. Of course, I like them all. I think they're all great books. So talk to me about where the franchise is at right now.
Okay, well, Jaded number 4 just hit Comixology this month, so you can get Jaded issues 1 through 4 on Comixology. And we are in the process of finishing the art on Jaded number 5. It is a 6-issue series, and it looks like we should be able to wrap up by first quarter 2018.
All right.
The series.
Okay, well, how about that? Not many people get to do that. And it hasn't always been easy for you, as I remember, as you and I have talked. I met you at C2E2 a while back, and I remember that you've always had to kind of struggle to make things work. So I think it's a real accomplishment that you've gotten as far as you have and that you're going to actually see this end in sight there. That's something great.
Yeah, it definitely feels good. It's difficult when you've got a full-time job, and that full-time job is the military, and you've got to try to balance that with your night job, which for me would be, you know, eventually where I want to go to probably after I retire. Write comics full-time. I would love that. Mm-hmm. I do write other comics, but Jaded is the one I'm farthest ahead with and have the most following, I think, at this point. So That's where we're at. So if you remember last time we spoke, the first 4 issues of Jaded were each sort of like an anthology focusing on one story for one character. And then the last 2 issues, we're going to wrap those stories together. We're going to bring them together and come to a conclusion. So it's very exciting to see pages coming in from Jaded number 5, mm-hmm. where you start to see these characters interact.
Now, are you using the same artist for all the issues?
No, I'm using a team. Jimbo Salgado has been on every book. If he hasn't done the whole book, he's done pages in the book. In Jaded number 4, he did 5 pages. He might have a similar role in Jaded number 5. Jamar Boulda is the new main artist for Jaded, and he's got great work too. And there was no reason in the choice other than availability. Jamar Boulda is a little bit more available than Jimbo is right now. I still love Jimbo's work and want to work with him as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Now, talk about what Jaded is about, because if somebody didn't get a chance to listen to your last conversation with me, what would Jaded be about if somebody had never read the book before?
Well, it's about what a hero is, if I can talk thematically. It's about what it takes to be a hero and looking at that by the way of the difficulties that heroes can go through and the difficulties in their lives. So the idea here is each of these characters is going to really get put through the ringer and have to make really tough decisions. But are they still a hero at the end of the day? What makes a hero? Is that really a moniker that people earn, or is that something sort of looked at or given to a person by other people who don't really know who that person is. So I really wanted to get to know these characters, these people, and see if they really earn that title. If you remember, the first issue has a subtitle of There's No Such Thing as Heroes.
Right.
And so that's really the underlying theme of, well, is that really true? Or are there such things as heroes, and what makes them? Can a good person or a bad person still be looked at as a hero, depending on their actions?
Right. And you were talking about this as kind of a more realistic look at heroes.
Yeah, I think so. I've seen lots of people get given the attribute heroes that may or may not earn it. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's realistic, or maybe it's a jaded view of that idea.
Hence the title of the comic.
Yeah, right.
Well, talk about the availability of the issues. Can you get the books in paper copies? I get a sense that you have to do it by meeting you at a convention most of the time.
For the paper copies, it's at a convention or at many comic book shops in the state of New York, some shops in Pennsylvania, mostly New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, basically the shops within driving range. I'm still trying to figure out for myself the business aspect and the distribution. Right now, I'm just focusing on writing and getting the story right. It's very difficult to balance your everyday life, your regular day job, and the business of comics. And I've kind of put the storytelling aspect in the forefront and making sure that I can get my comics out the easiest way possible, which for me is through Comixology digitally.
Yeah, which everybody can see it there and everybody can get it there, which is, I always like to point out that Action Comics gets the same shelf space as Jada does.
That's right, and Comixology, that's right.
So I like that about it. It makes it also available, like, because there are a lot of comics I struggle to get paper copies of, you know, so if I can't find them in my local shop for whatever reason it didn't come in or something, then I can go right to Comixology. And there are other ones, too, like Drive-Thru Comics and other things like that. I don't know. Have you approached other formats like that, other groups like that, in order to be able to put your comics out?
Yeah, I've tried Drive-Thru Comics. Jaded numbers 1 and 2 are available on there. I just I didn't know how to market that. Mm-hmm. I felt like Comixology was an easier name to get out there because it has the Amazon name attached to it. And there's lots of users who may or may not be used to online comics. When they see Amazon, there's a level of trust there.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
And Comixology, so it's just been the easiest for me.
Comixology has also been a big name before Amazon acquired them. They did a lot of promotion, and they did a lot of, they would be, just like at New York Comic Con, where I was at recently, Comixology had a booth, and they had, like, this was like an anniversary for them, and what they did was, they had a schedule of comics creators who came in, and you could get your picture taken with them.
Oh, that's cool.
So I got my picture taken with Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo, which was the ones I always wanted there. But every day, all 4 days, they had people on schedule that you could come. Of course, you had to get in line. You had to get through to be able to do that. And it was a nice way to celebrate an anniversary like that. I thought it's something different because you don't get a chance to get your picture taken with creators very often.
That's true. And you know what? You just reminded me that this is the first New York Comic Con that I have not had a booth at, and I've missed since 2012 when I got back from Afghanistan. Oh, just so happens that our annual training coincided with New York Comic Con. There's nothing I can do to get out of it. But I missed it this year. We'll definitely be there next year. Yeah. And there'll be a big announcement next year. I mean, I have gotten one of my titles assigned onto another publisher, and I'll we can discuss that more another time, but I'm very excited about that.
Well, how about that? Well, congratulations are in order.
Thank you. That's going to take a lot of the pressure off of me in terms of the business side, and it's going to allow me to really focus on the creative side. Cool. Speaking of which, with Jaded number 4, how'd you like it? What'd you think of Etheria's story?
I like it. Oh, it was haunting on many levels. And, of course, with Etheria, who is much like a ghost in many things, that she becomes immaterial. I thought that was a real good way to write it. I don't want to spoil much about the story, but let's just say that the one thing about the powers in your books is that they always come with a downside as well as an upside.
Yes.
And Etheria has a really shocking, if I may say so, downside to her powers. And I don't know how much of it you want to give away, but...
Well, that piece I think we can talk about. Okay. The reader discovers that Etheria had at times in her life gone through these spells where while she's sleeping. If she has nightmares, it triggers her power while she's sleeping and causes her to phase through her bed, through her basement, into the underground for who knows how many feet until she finally wakes up where there's no oxygen. And she's got to make sure she wakes up, or somehow has to wake up in time in order to float back up out and get some oxygen before she could possibly perish, which I thought was interesting. A different take on the downsides to that particular power.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know how I'd take it waking up in the middle of like solid rock or something like that. You know, how do you, you've got to be able to concentrate and get your powers back so that you can get out of that situation.
Yeah, I really like thinking about these power sets and all the jaded characters. If I haven't done it already, I think the one that I haven't really touched upon is Sovereign, the character from the first issue. Right. But I really like to pick apart a power set and try to use them in different ways. So I know in issues 2, 3, and 4, I've really tried to describe a power set that you've seen before in comics, like Speedsters, and Kid Prodigy has similar powers to Spider-Man and a little bit of Magneto. Like, he uses electromagnets to move around, sort of like Spider-Man. And I like to think of it from a different perspective. And with Etheria, and I'm not done with her, of course, I think I've really come up with some stuff that I definitely have never seen for somebody with the intangible and invisibility powers. So make sure you pick up Jaded number 4 to check out how she's a little different, and especially in Jaded number 5, you'll find some interesting things there.
Oh, really? Well, while we're on that subject, when is Jaded number 5 slated to come out? When do you think that's going to happen?
Well, as you said in the top of the podcast, it's been difficult for me to really get these things done. So I think it's fair to say that by February, we'll be all done and ready to put it in Comixology.
Really?
So that means it may not come out till March on Comixology. I'm just being honest. Mm-hmm. The time that it takes to make this happen is a little longer when you're a small independent company. But it does feel good to put these out and seeing them come together. And I can't wait to have a collected edition.
Yeah. Are you going to sell those in paper, or are you going to stick to Comixology for that too?
That I will definitely push Jaded, the graphic novel, the collected volume 1. I will definitely make sure that gets out through Diamond. I will have a new motivation because it will be finished, and I can put it out there and get it on bookshelves. I just can't wait.
Yeah, no, I want to go back to Etheria for just a minute, because there's a segment of it, this part of the story that was a little bothersome, and maybe it's because of the Harvey Weinstein thing going on right now, but I'm a little her relationship with her father is not what we would say was ideal, shall we
right.
say. And the last panel in the whole book still, that's why I said haunting, haunts me on two important levels. And I don't want to spoil anything, but let's just say the relationship with her father gets resolved, as well as the fact that her relationship with her husband has an interesting twist, all in that same panel.
Right.
I was very surprised that there's a bit of text that if you're reading very closely, you remember, and then all of a sudden you get to the last page, and all these things tie together real nicely. And that's one of the things I think many writers don't pay attention to. So I thought particularly this one was a very strong issue, in the sense that not only do we get to see the powers from a different perspective, we get to see Etheria herself on several different relationship levels as she decides to resolve them. And that last panel is still, I gotta say, well, if you see it, you won't forget it.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. So with the reason that even in the last podcast, I told you that I couldn't wait to write a Theory's issue. Yes, it's dark, and yes, it's disturbing, but it pulls from, and I can gladly say, not directly from my own experiences, but I do use my own experiences in relationships, and I use what she goes through as a metaphor for relationships in general, for relationship with parents, for relationships with significant others. And for me, it was interesting taking the female role and trying to understand a disconnect, how this relationship between husband and wife, and I've gone through a failed marriage, so a lot of this pulled from my experiences there, how people can live together and be happy and somehow fundamentally find a way to miscommunicate to the point where the relationship can be destroyed over a fundamental miscommunication or misunderstanding of each other's needs. And that's what is going on there with the husband and wife. And then I just tied it into her previous experience with another very important relationship with another man in her life, which is all too common, I think, in real life. And so I thought it was important to address.
What I really enjoyed in particular was the gray area that you took the husband-wife relationship in. Because there are times when I sympathized with the husband. I did not always feel like Etheria was in the right. Sometimes I thought she did. She took things a different way than I thought she should have.
Well, that's so important, I think, to understanding relationships. And it's something that I learned coming out of my failed relationship, is that there is gray area, and it's important to understand that there's not always one that's right and one that's wrong. And finding that medium is so important. And it's so sad when you see two people who, from the outside, you might be able to see, well, this person's wrong and that person's wrong, if they could just both admit to it and come together and find a resolution. But they're so mistrustful of each other, or there's so much hurt involved that they can't see it. It becomes tragic.
Well, I oftentimes was mad at her. And she's the main character, you know, of the book,
which,
you know, doesn't often happen in the comics. That's why I thought particularly that relationship in the writing was really strong, because if you could take me someplace I haven't been in a comic before, and I've read comics for a long time, I really thought that was really, really successfully done.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. I'm glad you were able to see that.
Yeah, because it's just also the art. I have to say, the art really worked with all this as well. That last panel, the artwork is something I won't forget. But also the different things, her expressions on her face, you know, the husband's frustration on it. It just all, you know, it was all really interesting to me. And at one point he does something really to try to help the situation. And when he does something, she interprets it a different way. She looks as if he's trying to be, I don't know what to say, to manage her life as well as his, might be a way to say it. And that was the part where it particularly got to me, because I thought, here he is trying to come up with a resolution for her, a problem she's having. And she does not see that. She only sees that this is something that might interfere with her.
Right. And then conversely, he's not seeing the trauma that she's going through. He's right there next to her. He's supposed to be the one that she trusts. She can't trust him to tell him her deepest, darkest secrets. And he kind of just, all right, well, this is why we're going to fix it. I'm going to fix it. Don't worry. This is how we're going to fix it, without really trying to get to the bottom, or in a way that she can connect with to allow her to open up. So he's at fault, too. He just doesn't know why.
Yeah, which is funny, because the two of them, you know, I had to wonder what kind how could this be resolved? I actually kind of sat there, and I wasn't sure how you could resolve this kind of a situation.
Well, I think that it's wonderful that we're talking about a superhero comic book. Mm-hmm. And here we are also talking about serious relationship issues. I love that that's where we are in comics, in this media, where we can talk about serious topics. Mm-hmm. With superheroes that have really cool powers and do really cool stuff at the same time. It's a great way to say that superheroes are still relevant. I mean, I think you and I had discussed in the past how I was told by a publisher in the past, oh, you know, you can't really do superheroes anymore. You can't do anything new with superheroes. Mm-hmm. And I would definitely disagree wholeheartedly.
Well, this book really, all the books of mine, the father-son relationship in the Speedster book got to me. And even Sovereign's discussion as to how he fits in as a hero in the world was something else. So the next things to mind, as you've been talking, is from here on now, but issues 5 and 6 are going to bring everybody together. And what I'm going to be fascinated to see is, are you going to explore the group dynamic? Are you going to deal with individuals as they go through, like each one have their own little section? How are you going to deal with these folks in the next two issues?
Well, I can't say without spoiling anything, because I've already put out on social media the cover to issue number 5, which is Sovereign holding his smoking helmet that he's been flying around the galaxy with, and with the title, He's Back. So the premise is, from issue 1, we know from the first panel that Sovereign has been around the galaxy and he's been tearing stuff up, and he's been acting like a very aggressive hero, or maybe even as a villain, we're not sure. And the concern from the superhero community was, what are we going to do when he gets back? What if he has an aggressive posture? Mm-hmm. Well, the story that brings them all together is his return to Earth, while most of his friends in his original team that we were introduced to as a team, by the way, in issue 4, beginning of issue 4, the first time you see them together, but they're all incarcerated when he comes back. So that right there should be a mystery. Well, how, if they're incarcerated, how is there going to be a reunion? There will be. There definitely will be.
Interesting, because, you know, I it's not normal you see, like, say, the Justice League or the Avengers get arrested, and then one of their, let's say, like, their most powerful member, like, say, Superman or Thor or somebody comes back and finds them like that. I imagine Sarvan's going to have something to say about that situation.
Right, but I've also planted some seeds of discord within that group, and I hope that you look at it as you don't know if you can trust all the members or if you can trust any of the members. And that's sort of where we'll be in the beginning of issue 5.
It's interesting, too, that, you know, as far as villains go in the piece, it's mostly been other people or their own, you know, their own relatives or people that they interact with that have been the sources of conflict in their lives. As far as, we haven't seen much in the way of supervillains. You've had a couple.
That's true. So that's true, but you will definitely see the return of one supervillain, which will show himself to be a major supervillain. But you hit the nail right in the head. Whether he's a major supervillain or not, this story is not about the external supervillains. This story is about these people, this team of has been heroes, and their own inner conflicts and how their individual inner conflicts turn into a group conflict in the end.
So all the things we've read before are now going to come together in the last two issues.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And I'm very excited because... Oh, I won't give anything away. I'm so close to it. I won't.
Okay,
well, I'm just excited.
I'd rather read the book.
It's funny because when I go back and I, you know, as I finish writing the issues, I go back and I read, and I remind myself of the seeds that I planted, and it's so fun to see them pay off, even as a reader, even though I'm the writer. I just love comics, and I love being involved, and it's so much fun.
But storytelling. That's what it is.
And, absolutely.
And I always get a kick. People who tell good stories, you know, I was just thinking about the fact that's so interesting to me as a comics person in the military. You're not the first one I've run into. Well, you know, you were the first one, but I've run into others since then. There's a guy who writes Smoketown from Scout Comics. He's in the military, but he's a military musician, interestingly enough.
Oh, cool.
But he writes really great comics, too. And I don't know if we discussed this before, but it's on the tip of my mind. What is it about the military and comics that seems to work well together?
There are many comic readers in the military, and that goes way back. Here in the States, we used to send bushels of comics to the GIs back in World War II. From then all the way to now, comics are pretty popular in the military. You won't be able to find too many guys who don't know the superheroes and won't be able to talk to them. And of course, that's just evolved even more now with all the superhero movies that are out. So I would say that in the military, you have a large percentage of a fan base that is in that profession to begin with. So I think it just kind of lends itself to the creative people that are in the military wanting to branch out and make their own comics.
Because if I remember correctly, Stan Lee was in the military.
Yeah, Stan Lee was in World War II. Of course, a lot of those guys were drafted. But, yeah, I mean, Will Eisner, a lot of the greats were in the military.
Yeah, so it's really interesting to me about that because my first reaction is not to think that that's something that would work well. Because, you know, military people tend to be more regimented. But yet here you are doing something really creative. And I find that balance is so interesting to me.
That's a fair assessment. I mean, I've been in 18 years and I haven't met a single other soldier who majored in screenwriting. I happen to be a creative guy who also likes the military life. I can't say I started my career thinking that, but I kind of grew up in the military and learned the discipline that's needed to stay in. And some of that translates, I think, into my work. I definitely am a go-getter and try my hands on a lot of things and want to get things off the ground. For example, I mean, you've seen some of the other titles that I put out. One that we can't talk about because it's going to be published by another publisher, and I'll tell you about that soon enough. But the other being Wordsmith, which is one of my favorite and one of my oldest stories that I finally got out into print and digital. What'd you think of that one?
I like that. It was very interesting. The end, as always, when I get to the end of your stories, I'm always surprised. And the end of that surprised me as well. Why don't you describe what the book is about for people?
Sure. So Wordsmith is, right now, it's a one-shot, even though it has a cliffhanger ending. I do plan on finishing that, but I want to finish Jaded first. So once we're done with Jaded number 6, I'll go back into Wordsmith. But anyway, I'm sorry, I didn't even answer your question.
That's okay.
Wordsmith is simply... it's a story about a kid who discovers that the poetry that comes to him in his dreams, because he's a writer who just happens to be a terrible writer, the poetry that comes to him in his dreams turn out to be magic spells. And he doesn't know what they are. He doesn't know how to use them. But this is going to be a story about a young man who begins to learn that these words can be used as magic spells and starts to engineer a spell book from scratch. Except he's poor and he's not the brightest bulb, which will make him dangerous. So that story is a lot of fun too.
If I remember correctly, that's based in New York?
Yes, it's based in New York City. And this kid is just going to run amok trying to learn how to use magic without any training, without any guidance. I wonder how destructive that could be.
You know, the trick of it is this is the bad news about creativity, is that it not only can it be something really constructive, but it can be something destructive too.
Yes, very much so.
But your book really seriously points out just when it comes to his friendships and his relationships and things like that. So
yes,
I was moved at the end. I was just so surprised at how things went, and I want to see the next part of this. I want to see what's going to happen next. So it's again, I just find this whole thing, the creative process has always been something fascinating to me. How somebody can come up with these creative things. I often tell the tale. There was a guy in England who watched a documentary about how you slaughter pigs. And he came away from it with a story that he wanted to write a comic about. And it was called Slaughterman's Creed. And I remember talking to him and going like, how in this world do you watch a TV show about slaughtering pigs and then come up with a comic book concept? But it's just like this one is kind of interesting to me because it talks about... because, you know, storytelling is often, you know, not to borrow My Little Pony too much, but storytelling is magic. And I think that a lot of your stories talk about that, but yours are more grounded stories than a lot of the ones I've read. A lot of them tend to be fanciful, but yours tend to look at things with a more, you know, you talk about Jaded, but it's more of a realistic eye than, say, many writers do.
Well, I mean, that's something that I think I'm good at, but I won't pigeonhole myself into that. I mean, I think that there's another title I'm working on that's a little bit more fantastical. But what I do like to do is make sure I'm having fun in all the stories I'm telling. So even if it is grounded, I very simply want to make sure something cool happens in every issue. What Stanley used to call the bang for the big buck. I think that's very important to keep comics fun and alive, even if you're talking about deep subjects and points.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So let's see. You've got Jaded now is in under process. Wordsmith, you've gotten some progress on. You said you've got other projects, but you can't really talk about them at this point, right?
Yeah, not yet. Nope. Okay. But some of my favorite stuff.
Okay. Well, we'll have to talk about that again sometime in the future. So let's. Okay. Jaded 1 through 4 now. You can get on Comixology. Do you have any plans to go to any conventions? I know the military is keeping you busy as well as the family. Good stuff. Do you know if you're going to go to any conventions later in case somebody wants to go get a paper copy?
I'm looking to go to Rhode Island. I don't know the dates off the top of my head, but there's a Rhode Island con, I believe in November, that I'll be attending, and that will be the last one this year. And then I'll definitely hit the circuit hard next year because I will have a lot more material that I can't wait. So you can find out the con schedule where you can find me and buy some books on Iron Age Productions on Facebook or Iron_Age_CMX on Instagram. Follow me there, follow Iron Age there, and you'll find out where we are when we're there.
Okay, great. Because I got to see you at C2E2, which for some reason after I met you there, I always thought you were based out of Chicago, but not so.
No, that was actually the farthest I've ever traveled for a con so far. That one was pretty, that was worth it. It was definitely worth the trip, and I'll definitely be back at C2E2.
Okay,
well, one day I'll make my way across the country to San Diego.
Oh, see, this year I was really lucky. I got to go to both San Diego and New York Comic Cons.
Wow. All right, which one's bigger?
Oh, well, as far as bigger goes... Well, see, this is a debated issue. I what happened this year?
That's why I asked.
See, New York did something different this year. I don't know if you were aware of it. What they did was, instead of making almost everything a 4-day pass, they broke it up into many single days, and they had some 4 days. But what happened was, you got a lot more people getting to attend, because let's say if you could only get a Thursday, you had to go that day, and you had to do all your buying and all your visiting and all the talking with creators and things like that. And if you wanted to pick up some materials, you had to go on that day and do it. You know, where before, if you went to all 4 days, well, there's no pressure. You know, you can wait until the last minute of the last day. But what happened this time, and I got to interview Neil Adams, who talked to me a little bit about this. He said that it was really great for him, because he got to meet not only more fans, but it kind of motivated them. If they were going to purchase something from him, they had to do it on the day they were there. Rather than, I'll be back tomorrow, I'll come back around and see if I still feel like buying it. They had that one day, most of them, to get it all done. And so a lot of people, as far as convention exhibitors and stuff, did a lot better than last year, because that motivated people to buy products.
Excellent. But do you still feel like, now that you've been to both in the same year, do you still feel like San Diego was the bigger attraction for you?
No. Let me just put it that way, because San Diego, to me, I love San Diego, don't get me wrong. This is the second time I've been there. I've been to New York about 4 or 5, which right there tells you something, as far as my opinion goes. But New York, there's a lot more going on, although it's starting to San Diego in some ways. They're starting to hold events outside of the Javits Center. They're starting to go out more buildings, which is San Diego. If you go to San Diego, the whole town gets sucked up in the San Diego Comic-Con. You mean, there's stores that get taken over, and they, like, Cartoon Network took over a pizza place, and it was like a Cartoon Network pizza place for a couple of days.
Oh, cool.
And all these kinds of things. And some of the folks who live there are very happy, because you make a lot of money, but some of the folks who live there are not, because you've taken over our town, and we can't go and do what we want to do in our town. And New York, you can drop like 10 New York Comic Cons in New York, and people still probably wouldn't notice that it's going on.
That's so true. You know, that is so true.
But on the other hand, it's a great convention. I mean, I got to interview people. I got to, you know, help out at the booth where we were selling things. And I got to do a lot of stuff and make a lot of contacts with a lot of people. So if I had to choose between the two, I would probably say that if you have to pick, although now with the new ticket stuff, it's going to be harder. I'd say if you have a chance to go, I would recommend New York. But if you get a good chance to go to San Diego, go there too.
Man, I would say, even though I've never been to San Diego and I really want to go, it feels so good as a native New Yorker from the Bronx to hear you choose New York over the West Coast. I just got to say.
Well, it's always funny because, you know, I get my exercise when I go there. We were staying in a place in New Jersey, and we would, I would walk out to the bus stop and take the bus into Port Authority, and then I would walk from there to the Javits Center. And, you know, it was so much fun. The only day that was a little tough was when it sprinkled some on Sunday. All the rest of the time, it was beautiful weather. It was absolutely gorgeous. So I had a great time, and I enjoyed the exercise, too. But there's something about that convention that just, it seems to bring out the best in people and makes things so much more fun to me. San Diego felt a little more businesslike. This was much more, even though people got to talk with each other, there was a lot of business that I heard about that went on behind the scenes. It was still more fun. It was very crowded. They could probably use a whole nother Javits Center right next to it and still be able not to fill both of them.
Yeah, that's definitely the downside to New York, but I can't wait to bring Jaded and Wordsmith and my next project to both New York and San Diego next year. I'm really looking forward to it.
So let's see, Jaded number 5. Do you have an estimation of when that's going to be available?
Yeah, I would say available probably March, because I think I'll be done in February and it's still got to go through the process.
Oh, right. Oh, I thought that was 6 you were talking about there. Okay, so that's 5. When is 6 going to come out then? Next year, New York Comic Con?
Well, we're actually doing both 5 and 6 at the same time.
Oh.
So even though 5 will be ready to go in March, 6 will be right on its heels. Because in order to write 5 and 6, I had to write them together at the same time.
Mm.
So we're drawing them at the same time. I'm using both artists to try to get it done simultaneously.
Cool. Now, what about Wordsmith? If people want to get a hold of Wordsmith, what do they do?
Well, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to wait for Jaded to be done, and then I'm going to lean back into Wordsmith. I'm using, believe it or not, the colorist, who I call the ace up my sleeve, the chameleon. His name is Bunny Passig. He's the colorist on all of my work. He actually finished more than one half of Wordsmith because the artist of Wordsmith had to stop comics. He was having some family issues. So this guy came in, changed his style to match the original artist of Wordsmith, Jonathan Weick. And it's hard to even tell that there's two artists on that book. He's just so versatile. His coloring styles can change. He can do anything. He can draw. He can pencil. He's just amazing. So I can't give enough kudos to my artists and to the chameleon, Bunny Passig.
I didn't even notice there was a change.
Yeah, nice. See? You didn't even notice. Nope. But that is just the colorist on the other books. Jonathan Weicke, who did most of the original work for Wordsmith, the first half of the book, he did all the chores. So pencils, inks, colors. And so Bunny had to do all the chores as well to match it. And boy, did he do a fantastic job.
Wow, well, that's great. It's great when you find a talent like that to help bring your concepts to life.
Yeah, and he's a manga artist originally.
Wow.
So that just shows you the flexibility and the skill that he has.
Oh, cool, cool. Well, John, you're doing wonderful stuff as always. I can't wait for Jaded 5 and 6 to come and hit and tease my brain around again, because first four have really been very unique. This business that you can't do anymore with superheroes, you clearly disprove that theory in the Jaded. So, one more question before I go. You used to do you were doing an online, like a weblog comic that was sort of related to Jaded. Are you still doing that?
Oh, yeah. Bejaded. Yeah. That's so much fun. It is. It's not weekly like it used to be. It comes out sporadically, sort of, you know, as the bug bites us, we'll get an issue out or so, or a strip out or so. Mm-hmm. It's not gone away. It will come back. It's just not regular. So it'll always hit our social media feed as soon as we're done with it. It's usually, we try to keep it poignant to what's going on today. As a matter of fact, I think the last one was a hurricane relief strip where we raised some money for the hurricanes in this past season, which have caused so much devastation.
Right.
But we had Kid Prodigy leading the charge on that.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's definitely not gone away. Lots of fun to do that as well. And Jomar Bulda, who drew Jaded 4, believe it or not, is the artist. So you can see he's versatile too. Mm-hmm. He does the comedy and the Bejaded. And he was straight and serious for the Jaded main series.
Super cool. Well, you always do great things. Very interesting writing, and that you corral good people to come and help you. And I just think it's always such good stuff, always such good reading. So I hope you continue to do it. Like I said, February and March can't get here soon enough for me so I can read the last two issues of this. Are you going to do more after that? You probably have more in mind for Jaded after this.
Originally I thought no. But now that I've written all six issues out, there is other places I can go. Whether it's a spinoff or volume two for Jaded itself, we'll see how it gets received when I collect it in a volume. And I would love to take it farther because I do have more stories to tell.
Well, I enjoy seeing that, honestly, because these first four have really just, you know, had my head spinning around. So I think I love that when a book can do that to me. So I want to see more of that. So, John, please keep doing the great stuff, and I look forward to the next couple of months and when we get the chance to see more.
All right. Thanks a lot, Wayne. I appreciate you calling me up and going over my stories. It's always nice to share with a fellow longtime reader.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's it for this week. You won't want to miss next time, which is Landmark Episode 300. We'll have brand new interviews from New York Comic Con with the likes of Marguerite Bennett, Ray Fox, and others, as well as the return of some favorites, including tremendous talents like Gail Simone and Neil Adams. You shouldn't miss any episode, really, but this one, number 300, will be one for the record books, so be sure to be here. But until then, keep reading your comics!